Good morning and welcome to First Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia on this fifth Sunday after Pentecost. It is wonderful to see you all here. If you are a out-of-town guest, we welcome you and we hope that you are enjoying your stay here in Savannah. If you are here from in-town and a guest here, we welcome you as well. And as always, for those of you who are here week in and week out, it is good to see you back in this place. At the end of service, give our folks a chance to say hello to you and welcome you. They love being able to meet new folks, so let them do that. This morning, we get to hear from one of our own today, Mr. Rick Sebastian, and we definitely look forward to what Rick has to say. In this time of transition, we get to hear from a lot of voices in the next few weeks, and so Mr. Rick gets to bring the message this morning. We look forward to that. Would you join me in our call to worship? Come to our God, all who hunger for life. Come to our God, all who are worn out by life. Come to our God, all who are weighed down. Come to our God, all you who are weary and burdened, and God will give you rest. And let us pray together. Lord of heaven and earth, we gather in your presence with thanksgiving and praise for the way in which you have revealed yourself to us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, we have come to know and love you. We have seen your love and mercy in action. We have caught a glimpse of your heart, and we have heard the call to follow. Continue to reveal yourself to us as we worship. May your Holy Spirit open our minds and open our hearts to your presence here and to the word that you have for us this morning. We long to meet you here and to know you better. Amen. join me as we affirm our faith together. The First Baptist Church confesses Jesus Christ as Lord on the basis of who he was and is, and what he did and does. We confess him to be God's unique Son, the Messiah of Israel, the Lord of life. He gave his life even unto death, by God's will and for our sake, on the cross. He comes again and again by the Holy Spirit to communicate himself to his people. His people are the church. We seek simply to be one visible congregation of Christ's church. We hold Baptist views about the Christian faith. However, we also rejoice in the Lord's gracious gifts to our fellow believers who are called by names other than Baptist. Happily, we count them as our brothers and our sisters. We live out our discipleship by taking seriously our commitment to each other and to the world. We share not only our words, but our money, our time, and our talents with our friends here and with all God's people everywhere.
Tell you a phrase I use a lot. It's a hyphenated word, and it's called God wink. Have you ever heard that? Most people haven't. My best friend made it up. And what I'm doing right now in this chair is a God wink. Last Sunday, I listened to your daddy's sermon, and I thought about your dad's sermon all week long, because what Josh Brewer said was, because we don't have a senior minister right now, and Lauren's gone as our associate minister, and what he said was, please don't ask me what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn around on you and say, what are you going to do? And I thought, ooh, that's the best sermon. Yeah, way to go, Josh, tell him. And then all of a sudden, about Tuesday, it hit me, oh, wait a minute, he was talking to me too. And I started thinking about the things that maybe I could do for our church and work in our church. And I thought, I just can't get quite there yet, what I really should do. And then I got a text from Kyle Ballantyne, and he's hanging over up there, isn't he? Yeah, looking down. And he said, I want to talk to you about maybe doing a children's time. So I called him back later. I told him that I would. And I said yes. And then I thought, ooh, why did I say yes? Because before you all were born, well, maybe Maddie, I used to sit in this chair practically every Sunday and do children's time. And it was one of my favorite things to do. So I think that was a God wink telling me, right here is where I need to be at this moment. Now, what we just read and what Reverend Sebastian is going to read, there is a word in the scripture that is weary. How many of you have ever been weary? Weary. I'm going to tell you what it means, because children don't usually want, I've never heard any of the three of you say you're weary. I have heard you all say, I'm bored. Ever been bored? Yeah. Ever been annoyed? Yeah, I wish y'all could see their faces. Have you ever been so upset about something that you couldn't even say what was wrong? You just kind of had, and I'd have them, a hissy fit. Doggone it. I can't even tell you what's wrong, but there's something wrong, and I'm just tired, and I'm worn out. And that's pretty much what weary means. A lot of the grown-ups in Savannah are pretty weary this week. Every time we've turned on the news, we've gotten wearier. So what I do when I'm feeling weary and tired is... I pull out my pillow. Got a favorite pillow at home? And this pillow says glittery can't. Because sometimes I just don't feel like I can do anything, and you girls know how much I like glitter. And I curl up with my pillow, and sometimes I pray, and sometimes I don't even have the words to pray. But a long time ago, 9 years ago, a friend gave me something special. And she said, when you're so upset about something, and something's bothering you, or maybe somebody's annoying you, or maybe somebody's bullied a friend, or maybe somebody's sick, and you know there's really not anything you can do about it. And she gave me a box, a pretty little box, and she said, this is your God box. And she said, every time you're upset about something, write it down on a piece of paper when you know you can't really do anything, and put it in that God box, and that way you're letting it go, and God's going to look after it. Now, the God box I gave to one of my best friends, and I needed a bigger box. And it's kind of ironic, this is a cigar box, y'all, but it's my cigar box from Chiba. And sometimes I don't feel like writing anything, so look what I put in there this week. Wednesday morning. Turned on the news, crumpled up a piece of paper because I couldn't find the words, dropped it in my God box, and said, God, I need your help right now. So, what I brought to all of you is a God box. Each one of you may have one of those. Sometimes you might just want to draw a picture in that. But it does make you feel better because God's looking out for us all the time. Even when we can't find the words to say. And sometimes we just can't take a nap when we're feeling tired and weary. And I promise Rick Sebastian I will not be using my pillow during his sermon. But those are God boxes for each one of you. I don't think, let's don't go to sleep till after church. And I know you went to a wedding, so you're probably a little tired. So each one of you gets a God box. I bought a bunch of them. I bought them in my favorite color, blue. So you get to take that with you. You can decorate however you want, or you can leave it plain. It's up to you, because who you are is an individual, and each one of us is different in God's sight. And I'm going to leave the extras up there because there might be some grown-ups who feel like maybe they just really need a God box too. So they're right up there, and you may take one of those. So the next time you're feeling weary, annoyed, sad, angry, think about the fact that God looks after us, and especially the very most when we are feeling exactly that way. And thank you. You can get one right now and for your baby sister. Thank you, ladies.
The first lesson is from Zechariah 9:9-12. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he. Humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your captives free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This has been the reading of the first lesson.
The second lesson comes from the book of Psalm 145, verses 8, ending in verse 14. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. Here ends the second lesson.
Our gospel lesson for today comes to us from the 11th chapter of Matthew. Jesus says, But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the written word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The year was 1987. I was called to develop a new Lutheran congregation on St. Simon's Island. When I arrived in the area, one of the first things I did was to establish a relationship with a local congregation. I decided to become a member of St. James Lutheran Church in Brunswick because I needed a place to worship. I needed a place for spiritual connection until the mission congregation was up and running. Well, when I joined St. James, I quickly found out that the congregation was uneasy about this new mission congregation across the marsh on the island, and probably for good reason. You see, 40% of St. James' membership came across from the island over the causeway to worship at St. James in Brunswick. And as that 40% traveled across the causeway, they brought with them 60% of the financial support for that congregation. The people of St. James were, of course, worried that they were going to lose a lot of members and a lot of finances to that new mission church on the island. I tried to reassure them. Mission congregations are not developed simply to allow people to move around from congregation to congregation. Mission churches are developed to reach out to the unchurched, to give the unchurched a new opportunity, a new mechanism to make contact with Christ and his grace. They listened to me, but I'm not so sure they heard me at that point. 3 months into my new call, I received a phone call on a Saturday morning. It was a member of the congregation of St. James. He was calling to tell me that the pastor of St. James had suffered a heart attack, a very serious heart attack. In fact, they were transporting him to a major medical center in another city. We talked about his condition for a while, and then we came to the point of the phone call. We have no one to lead worship tomorrow morning. Will you do it? I was hesitant under short notice, but felt called to say yes, and I did. And I remember hanging up the telephone That's the days before cell phones. I hung up the telephone on the receiver. And I remember thinking to myself, what does God want me to say to these people? They are a troubled people. They're worried about this new mission church on the island. They're afraid they're going to lose friends, members to that new mission. They're afraid much of their financial support is going to go to that mission. On top of that, they've now lost their pastor, their leader. The responsibility for this congregation now lies with them completely. What does God want me to say to these people? Jesus is actively teaching. If you check out the 10th chapter of Matthew, you find out that he's teaching his disciples, teaching them about mission work, how to go out in the world and share the gospel. Then if you look at chapter 11, the chapter from which our gospel lesson for today comes from, you discover that Jesus has been talking to the locals. He's been going from town to town, talking to people, challenging them, chastising them. And he ends this two chapters of teaching with the final words of our gospel lesson for today. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. There's a powerful message in this passage, but it appears to me that it needs some unpacking. So I ask you to work with me right now. Don't just listen, but work with me. Jesus, first of all, says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. He's not talking about being weary and heavy laden from work. These people are used to working. Remember, they have a six-day work week. Remember, their work day goes from sunup to sundown. They're not weary from work. They're used to it. Scholars tell us that what Jesus is really talking about are people who are worn down by their religion. Religion keeps piling more and more and more demands on them. And they are weary. Another word for that is exhausted. They are burdened by what they're called to do. Think about the people receiving this message, the children of Israel. They want to be faithful people of God. Scripture tells them, well, you ought to be like this and you ought to do that, and that's good. But then on top of that, there's the teachers. You know they're teachers. Pharisees, scribes. They've got rabbinic law, hundreds of laws. You need to be doing this and this and that and that. The weight is building upon them. And then there are people in their community that they want to help. There's Ishmael. He can't work right now. You know the way it is in society at that time. The money you earn today allows you to live tomorrow. If you're sick, if you're injured, and you can't work, there is no money for tomorrow. So you want to help Ishmael out. And then there's the demands of the heart. They want to be good husbands and wives. They want to be good children for their parents. They want to be good parents to their children. And the demands are just piling up upon them to the point that they are weary and carrying a heavy burden. And Jesus says to them, come to me. I will give you rest. Now understand that rest is not just a nap. It's not a week vacation. Those would be nice. But when they wake up from a nap or they come back from vacation, all those demands are still there. When Jesus says he's going to give them rest, that is literally a renewal in God, a renewal in God's grace, a renewal in God's Spirit. God is not just a God of demands. God is a God of love and empowerment. Jesus says, "Come to me, and I will give you that kind of rest." As an aside, you know that word rest. The commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You know what the word Sabbath means? Rest. Want to work and play for 6 days? Great. Seventh day, rest. Be renewed in the Lord. Be renewed in God's power and Spirit. After Jesus says that to the crowd, he then shares with them an interesting analogy. He says, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me." Now, in the ancient Near East, they didn't have trucks to move stuff, but they had oxen. Oxen are powerful animals. They can pull a heavy load. To pull that load, a yoke is created. A yoke is kind of a wooden harness that goes over the oxen's neck. It's then connected with straps to the oxen's body, and then there's some kind of connection with the wagon or the log or whatever that oxen expected to pull. Now, if that yoke fits on that oxen the way it's supposed to, the pulling is no problem. The oxen and the yoke work together. And man, that oxen is strong and can pull just about anything. But if that yoke is poorly made, if that yoke doesn't fit the oxen, then the yoke is fighting with the oxen all the time. And the pulling becomes a burden, becomes overwhelming for the animal. Jesus says, "Take my yoke." Interesting aside, do you know who made yokes in the ancient Near East? They're made out of wood. Who do you think made them? Carpenters. Do you know any carpenters from the first century AD? Know anyone by name? How about Jesus? Do you know there's an ancient legend that Jesus made the best yokes in all of Galilee? I don't know if it's true, but it makes sense. Jesus, an apprentice in carpentry, he knows his wood. Jesus, the Son of God, he was there at creation. He knows the creatures, including oxen. What a better combination to make a perfect yoke for a four-legged animal. And if it's good enough for a four-legged animal, it's good enough for a two-legged animal. When Jesus tells the people to take upon his yoke, he's not talking about a wooden harness. He's talking about the people's service to God. God loves his people unconditionally, deeply, emphatically. And our response to that love is our service to God. It's our yoke. It's the burden we carry. And remember what Jesus said, "I am gentle and humble in heart. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus has no interest in piling up the demands on our backs. Jesus wants to set us free to live, to love, and to serve God in joy. Notice that Jesus never says to the people of that time, "I can make all your challenges go away." Challenges are still there. What Jesus says to them is with me at your side. Your burden will be lightened. And that, my friends, is the message, God's message that was delivered to the people of St. James Lutheran Church in 1987. You remember that they were an anxious people, anxious about that new mission congregation, fearful that 40% of their membership would walk on them, scared that 60% of their financial support would be lost. They were concerned that the responsibility for the life of St. James Lutheran Church was now solely upon them, and they were burdened by that. And Jesus said to those people of St. James Lutheran Church, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus didn't tell them that their future challenge would disappear. Jesus told them that with his presence in their lives, their burden would be lightened. How did things turn out? Well, I can tell you this. In 1988, the new mission congregation on St. Simon's Island was chartered. Chartered means people come in and they sign up to be a member of that church. They agree to help that church be established. A charter is usually open for a specific period of time, in this case, 6 weeks. After 6 weeks of allowing people to sign the charter, the new congregation on St. Simon's Island had 275 members. You hear what I'm saying to you? They brought in 275 members in 6 weeks. Devastating news for St. James, right? Wrong. Something happened to St. James Lutheran Church. Without a pastor, they went through a period of real renewal, spiritual renewal. Renewal in the joy of serving Christ. And there came over that people a sense of peace that their future was in the hands of their Lord. Their challenge was great, but they came to believe that the support of Jesus was even greater. So St. James found rest for their souls. And they found growth for their congregation, almost as much growth as the new mission church on the island. I can tell you as a fact, truth, absolute fact, that in 1990, there were two Lutheran congregations in Glenn County, Georgia, one on St. Simon's and one in Brunswick. And both of those congregations had an active life, vital, exciting, and growing. All due to the presence and power of Jesus Christ. Now, I've spent a lot of time talking about 20 years ago, and I hope that's not just because I'm getting older. But I see parallels between the people of St. James Lutheran Church in 1987 and the people of First Baptist Church, Savannah, Georgia, in 2017. We have lost our pastor. Not to a heart attack, to a change in job. But along with losing our pastor, we've also lost the majority of our staff. That has to affect the life of this congregation. And I know there are people within the congregation that are concerned about our membership pattern. We are an older church, and naturally older people die. And some younger people are finding it's easier to go to church somewhere closer to where they live. And so the pattern appears to be more bodies going out than coming in. And people are concerned. And there are people in our parish who are uneasy about our financial situation. We've got great ideas. There are lots of things we want to do. And each year they're going to cost about this much, but we bring in about this much money. Every year there's a gap. Makes us uneasy. Within our congregation, there are feelings of being anxious and scared and even burdened by the demands of our religion at this time. And Jesus says to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest. You will find renewal for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Dear friends, the future success of this congregation will not be determined by some new program that we create, though programs are important for outreach. The future success of this congregation will not be determined by an individual with the title pastor, though we look forward to our interim pastor and then our permanent pastor. The future success of this congregation does not lie in a study or a master plan, though that can be extremely helpful, not only in terms of guiding us, but directing our prayer life. The future success of this congregation will not be determined by a board, though we are extremely grateful for our deacons and the kind of leadership they're now providing. The truth is, the future of this congregation will be determined by Jesus Christ, by his vision for this church, by his calling to its people, and our service to Christ, the yoke that we are called to wear. So as we go through the days and the weeks and the months ahead, I'd like to suggest that we all remember three words, not my words, the words of Jesus. Come to me. Come to Jesus. And as we do, we will find rest for our souls, and we will find our burden lightened. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
We turn to our God now in a time of prayer. We will begin with a silent time, an opportunity for you to offer your own personal, individual, silent petitions of prayer. And then we will have a time of verbal prayer, where I will offer petitions on behalf of all of us. With that in mind, let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for grace, your unconditional love, given to all through the cross of Christ, shared with all through the presence of your Spirit. We thank you, God, for loving us completely forever. Lord, in your mercy, Creator God, we are amazed by the grandeur and beauty of the earth. We appreciate all that you share with us through creation. Help us to care for the earth in a manner reflective of your care of us. Lord, in your mercy. Prince of Peace, the world is filled with a variety of cultures and a menagerie of peoples. Enable us to appreciate one another and live in peace and harmony as you intend. Lord, in your mercy. Abiding Spirit, suffering is ever present in our world. Hunger, illness, poverty, oppression, neglect, abuse, killing abound. Bring comfort to all in need. Stir compassion in all who breathe. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the Church, our congregation has entered a period of transition. Guide our leadership, inspire our members, reveal your plan, support the faithful, allow this transition to bring us to the fulfillment of your calling for us. Lord, in your mercy. And all this we pray in the name of Jesus our Lord, who taught his disciples to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Take on the yoke of Jesus, we learn by doing. So as we learn to have generous spirits and generous lives, let us now act on what Christ teaches, to be generous givers, knowing that in our action of giving, we give testimony to a generous God.
Thank you.
Let us all pray together. God, in whom we find rest in times of weakness and hours of need, yours is the strength by which we carry on, the shoulder we rest our head upon. When our load is heavy and too much to bear, yours are the arms stretched out to help us. And with the grace that we depend on, in times of weakness and hour of need, your voice is heard, come and find rest. This is grace divine, the path we tread to wholeness of body and spirit, and the path that leads to you, and for which we offer our offerings of money and of praise. And may they be used to the glory of your kingdom. Amen. The invitation to Christian discipleship is open now for any who wish to profess their faith in Christ or any desiring to join this worshiping community. You may do that as we sing this hymn together. I want to thank Rick for giving us a sermon today. Thank you so much for being willing to do that. As I said, in the coming weeks, we'll hear from lots of voices. And thank you to Janice Lewis for giving our children's time today as well. A few announcements before we go. I said this last week, but I will say it again. In the last couple of weeks, our new custodian, Erica, has begun and started, and she is doing a marvelous job. If you haven't met her, make sure that you say hello to her. She is doing wonderful. I drove in this morning, and she was picking weeds on the corner over there, like sweeping up leaves and stuff, and I said, did someone tell you to do that? She's like, no, I just kind of thought this needed to be done. I was like, oh, there you go. She's wonderful. Also, this week on Wednesday, we are gathering for one of our Sunday gatherings, and we are having bingo night. So let me tell you, if you're not coming to that, you're going to be missing out. I've already heard some trash talking between some people. There was like one of our kids like trash talking one of the adults that was like, hey, I'm going to take you out in bingo on Wednesday night. So, you know, Come and give us your best bingo game. There will be some prizes to be had and fun to be had as well. Remember, VBS is coming at the end of the month, and it is VBS for all, not just the children. It is VBS for adults as well. That's going to be the 28th through the 30th. Sometime this week, you're going to get an email to sign up and let us know that you're coming, or any children that will be coming as well. Also, in relation to that, on Thursday evening, if there are some of you that could help us, we are actually going to use the decorations and backgrounds of this VBS from another church, which has been generous enough to give it to us and say, hey, you know what? We can give that to you and let you use it. However, we have to go get it, okay? And so if any of you have like a truck or a vehicle that can we can use and help us carry that from Wilmington Island over to here, that would be much appreciated. And if you can let me know if you would be willing to do that on Thursday, that would be great. We don't have to set it up on Thursday. We just have to get it here on Thursday. Also, a reminder, next Sunday after church, we will have our fellowship lunch and our quarterly conference. So make sure you are here for that. And I think that's it. So, as we leave this place, please hear this benediction, and then please stand for the congregational response.
For the benediction, I invite you to lift up your heads and look forward as a way of communicating to you that this blessing is for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.